this week I want to talk about supply. And I know I wrote about this in my book, and I use the definition of an electric car and how I felt my ex unplug from me at certain points, literally disconnect energy. And I want to talk about the effect of that and the wounding around that. Welcome to the Mindfuckery podcast, which is Feedspot's fifth must-listen-to podcast on emotional abuse. I'm your host, Elizabeth, and here we explore areas that others fear to tread. I've been a woundologist for over 20 years, working with past life wounds, clearing ancestral trauma, and working with this life wounding. And it's through my own experience that I know how much this hurts. I was sat in Greece, my life was crumbling around me. I became an unintentional author as the story fell out of me, which I now realise was actually telling me what was happening in my marriage. Following the marriage breaking down, I started to discover new words, a new language, phrases I had no idea existed. And I wrote the dictionary on emotional abuse called the A to Z of Emotional Abuse. And my third book, Divorce Matters, was written to support you. I discovered the abuse continued through that process via a third party. And the book has been put together to support you and get the closure you need, heal the emotional wounds. And your divorce matters are really important as well. And it gives you permission to ask for the information you've been told not to ask for. I am the founder of the Inner Healing Sanctuary and creator of Wound Talking, The Original Wound and Quantum Glow. I'm on a mission to educate as many people as I can on the effects of trauma on our lives, our children's lives, and heal the wounds of our mothers, of our fathers. It stops here, it stops now, and it stops with us. So welcome along the journey of a lifetime. And you are very, very welcome. This week, I want to talk about supply. As I said, I've talked about the electric car. I'm going to talk a little bit about that and how the emotional abuser or the narcissist is empty and needs filling up, and how they move on from one person to another. It might be that your wounds are dictating certain behaviour. When I was going through breakdown, it happened over a long period of time. In fact, I could even go back and say it happened just after we got married. It might have happened before then. There are points during that year, from February right the way through to the September, where I felt a disconnect. I felt like, and I describe it in the A to Z of emotional abuse, being like, it was like being plugged into an electric car. And I compare the emotional abuser as an electric vehicle, and they have a huge battery, and you go along and you plug it in and you get your charge. And then during the day, you might have to go into different charge points. So to me, the emotional abuser is an electric car. I felt my ex completely unplug from me. And it was as if he took that connection out of me. It was the most odd experience at the time. It was June 7th, 2016. It was a Sunday. I know it so well because of the other events around it that didn't make sense. But it was that point, first thing in the morning, I felt that disconnect. And off he went in his, you know, in his little vehicle, going, looking for attention. Supply. When you look at the word supply, it could be electricity. And that's why I associate it with this car. So they have charged up at home. You've got an electric charge point. Now, it might be you that's providing that supply. It might be the children as well. But there's an environment that's supplying them. And that's the first source. That's the main source of supply. And then what happens during the day is they need attention. So they might go and plug themselves in the office, or they might plug themselves in a shop or somewhere else. A second source of supply, and to me this is like, and I have used the chess pieces so many different times, and I think they're a brilliant way of looking at it. So you've got the queen on the board, which is you, and it doesn't matter whether you're male or female, you're the queen. They are always the king, whether they are male or female. And I will tag the podcast about this Queen's Gambit, so I will put that in. And I talked about the different levels. You've got the pawns being maybe the children. They're the lesser form of attention, the supply that's given. So this electric vehicle, and they are the car, the electric vehicle, the van or whatever it is that's electric, and they move throughout the day, and then they come back home and they plug into their main source of supply, which is you. If we go right the way back to the beginning of the relationship, they were empty, like the electric car runs out of energy, runs out of supply. They are empty. They will always need to be topped up somewhere during the day, all of their life. They can't do it themselves. The narcissist is completely empty vessel. They don't know who they are. They have nothing. And they rely on other people to provide that information, to provide that. And they move from relationship to relationship. Shiny object syndrome, going, oh, that looks good, I'm going to move on to that person. They have more to give me and they have more to offer than I'm currently getting in this relationship, and they move on to someone else. So, and that's the same with throughout the day with supply. So the main source of supply is the home where they're residing, the person they're in the main relationship with. The next source of supply might come from somebody in the office or people in the office where their ego is fed, that, you know, they can have a laugh and a joke, they're praised for the things that they do, they're praised for who they are, etc., etc., because nobody sees behind the mask, or if they do, they're too frightened and scared of them. So right at the beginning of the relationship, they have created a persona, because they're empty and they don't know who they are. So they find out who you're looking for. What are you looking for? You want somebody who looks like this, who behaves like this, who treats you like this. And they go, okay, I can do that. I can create a character and I will do that for you. And this is one of the reasons when you come out of the relationship and it hurts, it will be a wound. We have three core wounds: abandonment, betrayal, and shame. And it might be a betrayal or abandonment wound that is saying, one, I'm good enough. Or it might be a shame wound, actually. Why am I not good enough? Because they've moved on. During the day, they move around and they might get a supply of three or a supply of four or a supply of one from the person at the, you know, petrol station or somebody at the checkout in the supermarket. So this mask, this persona was created right at the beginning. Now, it does take a lot to hold this mask in place. They're playing a character. And if you look at your favourite TV programme, you know, whether it be a soap opera or a series, the actor turns off. Now, I know some stay in character while they're recording. If they're recording a whole series, 6-week series or something, they will get a break. They'll take that mask off. They'll leave that persona in the studio or on location, wherever it is, and they go back to who they are. They go back to their normal life. And so does the emotional abuser or the narcissist. They have to. They cannot hold that persona in place for long periods of time. That's why during the cycle of abuse, you see flashes of who they really are. And then they pull that persona back on when they realize that, oh gosh, I've just revealed who I am. During this love bombing or idealization stage, they're not only creating this persona and the finding out what you want from a relationship, they're building up a picture of who you are and what's really important to you. And what they're doing is you really become a project to them. And again, a great series for showing you this is Dirty John on Netflix. Towards the end, that they show how he multi-dated, how he had what was really going on behind the scenes. Originally, you were watching, you know, this romance take place between him and Debbie. You become a project to them. They study you. They work out what your likes are, what your dislikes are. So another form of supply after the relationship has broken down is from the information they have on you. So it's perceived reaction. They know how you're going to react by the research they did during the relationship. A great example, I was interviewed yesterday. I'm taking part of an online global festival and I'm an expert speaker tonight, and I'm talking about wound talking. And I was being interviewed yesterday and I was giving this example. During the divorce process, I received an email. Now, at this point, there were a few times that my wounds had got in the way and I was really upset. I was going through extreme rumination at certain points during that divorce process, but I was learning and discovering a lot of the tools that I already knew were actually going to help me through this situation. The rumination I was getting down to an hour and sometimes wasn't even that. And I received an email from the legal team. At one point, I wondered whether my, at this point, estranged husband had access and was able to type this because it was as if he'd written it. And there was one in particular that I got, and this was really towards the end, and it had this word. I knew that my estranged husband had gone off and found this word, knowing that I would have to go and look it up because I would not know what it meant. And he would get supply from that. So it's compiled from that information. Supply can also come from knowing how you're going to respond. And this, for me, is why it's so important to divorce emotionally. And divorcing emotionally means there is no emotion. There's nothing. You don't feel any hurt, any anger. There's no injustice wound crying out for attention. Divorcing emotionally means that you are not allowing your wounds to run your divorce. You're not reaching out with anything, asking for information just to get attention. And it was these things that helped me get through. Grounding and breathing, they kept me in my body and out of my head. And for that, with the rumination, my mind was going off and finding all these reasons why somebody would believe I was a bad person. They were looking for all of those scenarios, all of those situations where I'd done something. The one thing that came out of it, which was the turning point for me, was this moment where I sat down and I'd been triggered by a letter or an email, and it really upset me. And it wasn't a rumination type thing. It really deeply upset me. And at one point I wanted my estranged husband, who I hadn't seen for 2 years, I needed his attention. So at that point I was able to go inside and say, well, what's really going on? Why would I want someone who's been really cruel, who's lied and who's really manipulated the truth, who has told half truths? And everything that was, not everything actually, but I think it was 3 out of 5 of the reasons he wanted to divorce me were actually what he'd done to me and my family. Why all of a sudden do I want that attention? And it made me look inwards, and I actually was able to connect with a 3-year-old. And what I discovered during that time was the emotional abuser sees the wounds. They have got similar wounds. They mirror the wounds. They have got something inside them that they can directly connect into. And for me, it was about being seen and heard, something that had never happened to me. And this person was seeing and hearing me in a way during the beginning of and the love bombing of our relationship. And every time that he was nasty or something really bad happened, he would then come back praising me in some way, like you would praise a child. And it felt icky towards the end because I could see what was going on. But there was still, after the relationship was over, it was painful. There was these wounds that were crying out for that attention. They needed to still be seen and heard. They'd been woken up. This person said that they saw and heard me. They didn't in the way that I needed, but they reflected that was happening. And it's this wounding, if you can get in contact with these wounds and talk to them, they change your life. Those conversations change your life. And this is a lot of the work that I'm doing now. I don't run any ads on here and I don't really sell anything. So the only thing that I am going to ask is if you could help me spread the word. We live in an amazing time and we have this incredible opportunity to heal our wounds and to break the chains that have trapped us for our lifetime. We have been given this incredible opportunity to grow and not only change our lives, but those of our children and our children's children. So please, if you can share this podcast, I'd be eternally grateful, as would the person that you're sharing it with. So they are the electric car. They move from place to place, relationship to relationship, getting topped up. And you then are discarded, but you still might have some supply for them. It might not be the 5, it might be a 2. I ask you, who or what is running your life? We all deserve to be seen and heard. That is my and has been my biggest takeaway from everything that I've done. We all deserve to be seen and heard, and that should have happened in childhood. And if that wasn't your reality, you can actually do something about that now. You can reparent while you're working on the wounding. So when you reach out and you have to be in contact. I'm really lucky. I'm really, really lucky that I never had to have contact with him again. He reached out. He sent an email, a blanket email. He added me to his email list. I deleted it straight away. I reported it as junk mail and that I hadn't requested to be put on there. And I haven't heard anything since. So I'm really, really lucky. I have nothing to do with him. I do appreciate, and I have been in that environment. I've had to live that life of experiencing what I experienced with my first husband, not realizing any of this. I don't have to deal with that either now. So, but I have an understanding or my own inner standing of what it's like and the pain that I went through, the anger that came with some of that stuff. And it's like, can you not see what you're doing? Can you not see your behavior? Can you not see the way you're treating people is going to have a direct impact? And this is why I'm so passionate. If I can help you heal these wounds now, you can take control of your life. You can take control of the relationships going forward. You can take control of the divorce if that's what's going on for you. If you need to reach out in any way and contact them either by email or WhatsApp message or text message, check in with your wounds first. Because if there's any anger, resentment, injustice behind this, if you're fighting in any way, if you're going to be sorting this out, right, I'm going to tell him or I'm going to tell her, that isn't going to happen. Whatever it is that's driving that emotion, there's a wounding behind that. And if you can go back and say, well, what would drive that wound? Is it a wound of abandonment? Is that the stem? Is that the root of it? Is it a betrayal? Is it a shame wound? But the root cause, the root of that, of these are three: abandonment, shame, and betrayal. That's my belief. And instead of typing that into your phone or on your laptop, write it out. For me, one of the most powerful things that you can do is do it by hand, write by hand. Write out what you want to say, and that could be the anger coming out. You could swear on this piece of paper. You can write whatever you want, and then go through it with a marker and cross everything out that is emotional, and leave only the things that you want to say. It could be, yes, you can pick them up on Friday at 4 o'clock. Yes, you can bring them back early on Sunday. Where's my money? The bit before it, which was, I knew you were going to do this, you've always done this, you've never paid, you useless piece of whatever, that all gets wiped. It's leaving the pure information that is needed to be sent. The moment you get into that emotional battle, they're getting supply. They don't care whether it's good or bad, they're just getting attention. It's like getting a hose pipe and cutting it in half. The water is flowing. The supply of water, like the supply of energy, the supply of electricity, the supply of water is going through a hose pipe. You get that hose pipe with two hands and you push your hands so your knuckles come together and you force a kink and you cut off that supply. And that's what you need to do. Heal the wounds and it won't matter anyway. And you can do what I did, which was say, where's this coming from? Why do I feel so angry? What is it? And it might be that you need to be seen and heard. It might be that you have got questions of why you're not good enough. You might be questioning, am I the narcissist? Am I the emotional abuser? And my answer to you is, if you're asking those questions, it's highly likely that you aren't. However, think about the techniques that you've learned. If you grew up in an unhealthy environment, if you had one or two unhealthy parents, if you had one or two narcissistic parents or emotionally abusive parents, or you had one narcissist and one emotionally abusive parent that were fighting, you will have grown up in those 7 years, first 7 to 8 years of life, you will have learnt techniques that you thought were normal behavior that were manipulative, and you will have lived in that environment and you will have picked up those vibrations and thought that was natural. Now, I've said many times, the empath is the child that lived in an unsafe environment. My belief, this is my belief, they're the child that lived in an unsafe environment and they learned techniques to protect themselves. They learned techniques to protect their siblings. They kept their siblings out of trouble. So, are you feeding your own wounds? Can you feed your wounds with the right attention? Can you heal your wounds with the right attention? The reason you don't recognize this person that you were married to or in a relationship with is because they created a new persona for their new supply. And in doing so, they may be creating wounds for you of not being good enough, or triggering wounds that were already there of not feeling good enough. We all deserve to be seen and heard. If you've got children, your children deserve to be seen and heard. And it's something I wish I realized earlier for myself and for my family. I wish I'd understood this or understood this, but I recognized the environment. And even though it was such an unsafe environment, it was safe for me. It was safer for me to be in that environment that I recognized because I'd grown up in something very similar. And the moment I realized that was the moment somebody said to me, "I don't understand how you did not see that as abusive." And it was that point I went, "Oh my gosh." Because 18 months before, I had seen behavior in somebody really close to me in my family and thought, "Oh my gosh, I recognize that behavior in my husband." It was my husband at the time. And that's another exercise that I talk about. You know, sitting down when you've got the time and the space and you're in the right place to start looking at the people in your life and seeing which ones are healthy. And if you've had other relationships that ran through that were unhealthy, and I was able to pick out all of the people that were unhealthy. And I did that really quite early on after we'd separated, as I started to see really early. I knew, but there was something in me that was saying it's safer in the relationship than it is out. I don't know how to function because I'd had that taken away from me. I'd been told on repeat all the time. I'd been told that I couldn't do this on my own, and that we were meant to be together. And the only reason these tiny ripples of and echoes of conversations and statements were that I was only good with him. That was the only time that my life worked was with him. The fact that I had rebuilt my life and I was in a really good place. So I thought, perhaps I hadn't got all of the wounds, and perhaps if I had have got all the wounds the first time, he wouldn't have even appeared on my radar. I would have shut the door on him. I wouldn't have even seen him, I don't think, because I'm fairly sure I recognised something in him that I'd seen growing up. I hope this helps you understand what's going on and why it hurts and why you might be craving the attention. It's keeping these wounds open. And if you think about them as a hole in you, you know, they're festering, they'd be pussy. And we see wounds as physical things. We don't acknowledge the emotional wounding, and the emotional wounding is so important. You feel it in your body. So take as much as you can, do as much as you can in little steps, because you have it within you to create this amazing life. What you've been told, you can do something about. You can challenge. And if that is something you would be interested in, I'll leave a link below on the course that I'll be running in April. Sending you loads and loads of love. Until next time.